In the third chapter of the book of James, the scriptures describe the terrifying ability of our words to hurt people. James chapter 3, verses 5 through 10 tell us, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." We're all familiar with the destructive force of the tongue. Many of us have experienced vicious words cast in our direction. The tongue can be a powerful weapon. How does this relate to Passover? Yes, James wrote about the tongue being used to form hurtful words, but the tongue has another important use besides speech. It is used for taste. Notice verses 9 through 12. "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh?" At the Passover Seder, as commanded in the laws of Passover, we eat a piece of mahor, the bitter herb. When we eat the horseradish root, the bitterness reminds us of the bitterness of our slavery in Egypt. Someone who has been redeemed from slavery in Egypt would never want to return to that oppression. Those of us who have been redeemed from slavery to sin would never want to return to that bondage either. So every year, as commanded in the book of Exodus, we take the bitter herbs to remind us of what we should have left behind. At Passover, we put bitter herbs in our mouths and eat them. Our tongue is on the receiving end of the bitterness. The book of James describes a different aspect of bitterness. James draws a comparison between bitterness and gossip and slander. Instead of using the tongue at Passover to take bitter herbs and afflict ourselves, James warns us about using our tongue to afflict others with bitter herbs. He even emphasizes the context of bitterness as a taste by contrasting bitterness with sweetness. At Passover, we afflict ourselves with maror. Most of us never even consider putting bitter herbs in our mouths throughout the rest of the year. But how careful are we to ensure that bitterness does not come out of our mouths throughout the rest of the year? James adds in verses 14 through 16, "But if you have bitter envying and strifing in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work." Bitter envying leads to confusion in every evil work. Every evil work. James refers to it as devilish. Bitter envy is a terrible thing. At our Seder, we use fresh horseradish root. Why do we use that form? Because it's so powerful that even a small amount gets a message across. Similarly, just a few cruel words can hurt your brother immensely and for a long time. As we continue our Passover preparation, make sure that you have a supply of bitter herbs ready for the Seder. Make sure that you afflict your tongue with a maror on that night. While you're eating the bitter herbs, use it as an opportunity to remember the bitterness of gossip and envy that we should not be sharing with others for them to taste. Have a meaningful Passover.